How many of you know what the word entropy means? Entropy is a scientific term, and it's used primarily in the field of thermodynamics. It has to do with heat transfer. George raised his hand because he's in air conditioning, and that's what he deals with every single day is heat transfer. Entropy is the tendency of heat to transfer the hotter to the colder. It is until it reaches equilibrium. Well, I used to do some welding. If you take a piece of hot metal that you've been cutting with a blowtorch or a welding torch, and it's glowing red, and you put that into a pan of water, what happens to the metal? It cools. What happens to the water? It heats up. And what happens after a few seconds or minutes? The metal and the water equalize in temperature. They become exactly equal in temperature. That's what entropy is. It's the equalizing transfer of heat to cold. It also is applied to other areas as well. It works with pressure as well. The tendency of two different pressures, of air pressure or whatever, when they're connected together, they tend to equalize, and then they're static. Whenever you have heat and cold, you've got this difference in the potential between hot and cold. You actually have the potential to do work. Back in the 1800s, a man named Robert Stirling invented the Stirling engine. Everybody heard of the Stirling engine? The Stirling engine is a very interesting engine. All you have to do to get it to operate is to provide it with heat. It has a chamber in it for air, and it has a hot side and a cold side. And as long as there is transfer of heat, if you keep heating the hot side and you keep cooling the cold side, this engine will run. It uses air. What it does is it moves the air from the hot to the cold side back and forth in this chamber. And by doing that, the air expands and contracts. And that's what it does. It just does that. Expand, contract. And that's connected to a piston, which it pushes the piston and it turns a crankshaft and so forth. And this was an engine that was used as an alternative to the steam engine, but it relied on this transfer, or it relied on entropy, this transfer of heat to the air and then to be cooled, transfer to the outside air afterwards. As long as you had this transfer going on, this engine would run. As long as you had a difference in potential, this engine would run. But what would happen to that engine if the hot side of that air chamber equalized with the cold side of that chamber? Nothing. It's dead. It's useless. It's completely useless. Now, entropy is also something that we see in all areas of life. We see things equalizing. You see it in our culture. You see it when the Christian is out in the world and in the culture. The culture has a cooling effect on the Christian and his zeal for God. And the Christian might actually have some warming effect on the society as well. But is that what we are to be? Are we to reach this equilibrium with society so that we're just like they are? No. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 3. By the way, that Stirling motor, it was designed and built in the 1800s. It was too slow. I mean, it was all right for an industrial motor to do certain things, but it was too slow to do certain things. And the internal combustion engine came along, which you have in your car, which was much more efficient and fast and high revving and all that kind of stuff. And that was great. But did you know that the Stirling engine is coming back? You know what it's being used for now? Solar. They have, this is just a little bit of trivia for you, get away from my sermon. They have now these big, giant parabolic mirrors. You know what that is? It's a dish shaped mirror. It's like your satellite dish, but it's a giant mirror. And you've seen these giant windmills, right? That they're using to generate electricity. They're huge. Well, they've got these big giant mirrors, and they put a Stirling engine, and they focus all this sunlight from an enormous area down to the hot side of the chamber on a Stirling engine, and that engine will run all day long just on sunlight without anything else. You don't need electricity. You don't need anything else. It just runs and runs and runs, and they connect it to generators, and they're providing electricity for it. In fact, they've got some of these set up where they have this big Stirling engine on a tower, and they've got mirrors set up in for acres and acres and acres and acres of mirrors. And all these mirrors are connected to a computer, and they can move the mirrors. And what they do is they are focusing the sunlight from acres and acres of area onto this one chamber, this of the Stirling engine. And that engine is connected to a generator. And as the sun moves in the sky, the mirrors move just a little bit, all by computer, and focus it to that, and it generates electricity. And you can have a power plant out in the middle of the desert that runs on these things. That's very expensive, of course, to do all that. But anyway, it's the Stirling engine's on its way back, and that's one of the applications for it. But anyway, you've got to have this potential between hot, really, really hot, and cool. And when you have that, it can produce work. And this is something that's good. Revelation chapter 3, verse 13. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were hot or cold. Entropy is a bad thing in this situation. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich, I have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy of me gold refined in the fire. There's some heat for you. That you may be rich, in white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Did you know what that word zealous is in the Greek? Boiling. It literally means boiling. He tells them to be boiling. He doesn't want them to be cold. He doesn't want them to be lukewarm. He doesn't want them to have reached equilibrium. And that's what they had done. They reached equilibrium with their surrounding society. Their society was wealthy. The society here in the culture in Laodicea was a pretty prosperous and wealthy city. And the Christians in that city started out hot for God, but now over time they had reached this equilibrium with their culture. And now they were no longer different or much different than what the culture was. And God said, this makes me want to vomit. Entropy causes us to cool because the world is cold. It causes us to cool down and to lose our zeal for God. And this is what's going to happen if we allow it to happen. You see, it doesn't take any extra effort for entropy to take place. It happens automatically. It happens automatically. When you're out in the world, in that culture, you're going to lose your zeal, your heat for God. You're going to lose it as it filters out into the world and you reach this equilibrium with your society. Now let me ask you something. What is it that can prevent that from happening? What is it that can keep you hot and for entropy not to take over and cause you to become cold? What is it? There's two things that can cause that to stop, or you can resist that. Two things. What are those two things? Somebody tell me. Walter.
Staying in His Word.
I'm thinking more metaphorically here.
Stay close to the source of heat.
Okay. More heat. More heat. If you have, just like a Stirling engine, if you have a continuous source of heat. See, have any of you ever seen one of those little models of a Stirling engine? You can actually go online and buy one. It's a little metal model of a Stirling engine on a little stand. And what you do is you put a little candle under the hot end of that little air chamber. And when you light that candle, you give it a few minutes and give it a little push, and that thing will just start going and away it goes. As long as you got that candle burning, it'll go. Keep the heat coming. You need a constant supply of heat. And you're going to get that by what Walter said. Reading God's word, prayer, coming to church, learning about Him, being energized in the things of God. But when you remove yourself from the source of heat, you take that little candle away from those little model Stirling engines, you know what they do? They're chugging away. You take the little candle away. As it cools down, and then it's dead. And that happens to Christians all the time. All the time. There's another thing. Walter, your hand was starting to go up. What?
The thing about the point of church part two is that by being around other fellow believers to help encourage you, helps you continue to stoke that fire. That's always giving that uplifting encouragement, because if you're around people that are just zapping.
Now that's a good example of entropy. Because what we want is for the zealousness of some Christians to rub off on the other Christians. Isn't that right? Fellowship there is good. We want that heat to transfer between us as fellow believers. What we don't want is to get out into that cold world and lose it all. That's what we don't want to do. So yes, being amongst each other, entropy can be good in that particular sense. And of course, it's good because George earns a living with it as well. Yes.
Can I say one quick note too, is that God does want us to carry his light into the world very simply,
yes.
But the hard part is we have to be close to him ahead of time. Otherwise, when we go out there, it's very hard.
Yeah, it's very hard, but that brings me to the second thing that helps us to resist entropy in the world. And what is that? George should know. Insulation. When you insulate your house, you're resisting entropy. Did you know that? When you're heating your house in the wintertime and it's cold outside, if you have no insulation, entropy kicks in real fast and your house will reach equilibrium. You know what I'm talking about, right? Well, you got the AC going and going and going and going and going. You turn off the AC and then, within a few minutes, the house is hot again. That's entropy. Insulation. When you insulate those walls, what are you doing? You're putting a barrier up for entropy. You're resisting entropy. Christians need insulation. What does that mean? We need some protection between us and the world. Does that mean we don't go out into the world? No. Does it mean we don't interact with the world? No. But it means we have some insulation so that we don't get what they've got and we don't lose what we have. What we do is we insulate ourselves from Christians who aren't living right, number one. And we insulate ourselves even from unbelievers, not from them totally, but from them while they're practicing certain things. We separate ourselves from the actual things that they're doing. We don't have any participation in the things that they are doing that are unholy and are contrary to God. And then we can retain heat. So, how do we prevent entropy? How do we do that? We need a constant source of heat, and we need to insulate ourselves from the loss of heat through contact with what is cold. This principle of entropy can be applied in many other areas. You may have noticed that there is always the tendency for order to decay into disorder. Isn't that right? I mean, you can get your house all nice and clean and spick and span and everything is great, and then a week later it's a mess again. I know my man cave's that way. It sort of stays that way, actually. Until Diane motivates me to get out there and get it cleaned up, or helps me get it cleaned up, I should say.
That's the heat being applied.
Yeah, that's right. Your house. You can put a new roof on your house. But after 20 years, or depending on the shingles you bought, that roof is going to decay and fall apart. The elements are going to have their effect on that roof. Your car is the same way. It breaks down. It wears out. If you've looked at my truck lately, you'll see that most of the paint has peeled off the hood and the roof. How much work does it take for that to happen? Nothing. Just don't do anything and it's going to happen, right? It takes work to keep it from happening. It takes work and input to maintain just the status quo. It takes constant effort and work to do that. It takes work to make something nice, and then for it to stay nice, you got to keep working on it. It took a lot of work for Arnold Schwarzenegger to look like that. What's that? It took a lot of work. It didn't take any work at all to look like that. Okay? Except the constant hand-to-mouth Twinkie exercise. It's use it or lose it. Isn't that right? I know you work out a lot, Samari. It's use it or lose it. No, not you. Well, let's just say he looks like he works out a lot. It's use it or lose it. And as we get older, our body, you know, I don't care how much you work out, but your body is going to break down. That's just the way things are. Resisting entropy takes a lot of work, and it takes constant work. You need to resist entropy in your marriage. Your marriage can slowly, little by little, erode and break down. It takes a lot of work. Resisting entropy in raising your kids takes a lot of work. If you just start getting lax and not staying with the discipline, not staying with the training and the teaching, what happens to your kids? Entropy. That's what happens. We talked about cultural entropy. But what I want to point out today mostly is entropy in your relationship with God. That's the big one. Slacking in church attendance, fellowship, prayer, Bible study, worship, using the gifts that God gave you for the benefit of His church. I had a whole sermon about this quite some time ago. It's probably been over a year ago. But I preached a sermon on using your gifts and why God gave us the gifts that He has given us. He gave those gifts to us for the advancement of the body of Christ, which has an agenda of advancing the kingdom of God on the earth. That's why He gave us those gifts. And when we don't use those gifts anymore for that purpose, or we begin to slack in using our gifts for that purpose, this is entropy in a sense that's setting in. You know, it's always incremental. It's incremental. It's a little bit here and it's a little bit there of cooling off. A little bit here and a little bit there. If you take your Bible and go back to chapter 2 of Revelation, there was another church who had a problem with entropy. Verse 1. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the 7 golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. So these are all good things that they had done. They had a history of doing the right things. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove the lampstand from its place unless you repent. They had lost their first love. Their love had cooled off toward God. They were still doing the things they should be doing as a Christian, but now they're just doing them just because they're supposed to do them. They're not doing them out of motivation for the love of God. Why do we love God? Because He first loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. That's the reason. When our focus comes off of that, the love of God, and what in the grace and the mercy that He's given us, and the forgiveness that He's given us, and the second chances that He's given us, and so many things He's done for us, we start losing sight of that. And then we start, our Christianity just becomes sort of just a mechanical going through the motions. And you can tell when that's happening in a church, because one of the things that happens is giving begins to go down. Church attendance begins to go down. And what's happening? Entropy is happening. People used to value the things of God as their highest priority. And now that value has cooled, and they're valuing other things. And their attention and their time and their zealousness, or their zeal, I guess I should say, their zeal now is being routed in a different direction than Christ, God, the things of God, His kingdom, being their number one thing in their life. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. And it happens to you slowly and incrementally, and that's why we need to be aware of it. We need to be aware of it. He says here that they need to do their first works. That is, they need to get their mind back where it was when they first became a Christian. They were excited about God and the things of God. And everything else took second priority to that. I want to read just two quick passages of Scripture, and I'm going to actually close on time today, which would be the first time in at least 6 or 7 months, I think, that I've closed before 12 or at 12. Galatians 6. You can look this up if you want. Galatians 6, 9 and 10. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Or the King James Version says, if we do not faint. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And then finally, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. And without wavering is not just back and forth, but it's back and forth like this. You know what I'm talking about? Kind of moving away, slowly, wavering, not steadfast. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he is faithful who promised. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some. And that's entropy right there. You can see that happening in so many churches. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And that's what Walter talked about before, where we're meeting together and exhorting one another. We are transferring heat between ourselves, amongst ourselves. When we separate ourselves from the body, we start to cool off. We start to cool off. We need a constant source of heat, and we need to be encouraging one another so that we stay zealous for the things of God. He says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Do we see the day approaching? I mean, we are getting so close now to the end, and the end game is going to require a lot of heat for you. The Bible talks about the persecution, the deception, and all that's going to happen in the end times. And if you're not close to God like this, you're not going to be able to just light a match and get the heat. You need that heat. You need to be walking with God. You need to be zealous about the things of God before things go south. Life is hard, but let's keep our relationship with God and our zealousness for him, for his house, and for his things and his kingdom. Let's keep that number one. And let's encourage one another to be zealous for God, for his kingdom. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this little illustration about entropy and the fact that it doesn't take any effort at all for us to cool off. But it takes a lot of effort and constant effort for us to stay hot for you and zealous for you. And I pray, Lord, that we will do those two things, that we'll stay close to the source of heat and that we will insulate ourselves from that which cools us off. And Father, that we'll keep this as one of the primary things in our mind that we should do as a Christian. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.